In the first class on the front line. So just like Jeff, I have time on my hands, so I went on to Google what it means to be in the front line, right? So I searched all different things, so it means to be in the front line. So I came up with this cool picture, right? This is to be soldiers of Christ, right? Soldier of Christ. So when we think about in the front line, of course, before you can go into the front line, you must be a soldier. But quite often we think as soldiers, you know, maybe someone looked really cool, right? Just like this guy here, right? I mean, can you imagine you go to battle looking like this, right? But in reality, a soldier of Christ like this, right? Yes, even though physically we look like this, right? But spiritually, when we go out to fight against Satan, for sure, we have a great armor of God, right? And quite often we feel like when we go out to preach the gospel, it's nothing special, right? Nothing special. Maybe just like someone going fishing, right? See, they go fishing, have a lot of fun, right? It's a lot of fun. Where is this? Anybody know where this is? This is in Africa, right? No, it's not. It's in Dallas, right? Not in Africa, right? So, when you think about soldier of Christ, right? Let's look at the United States, because United States Armed Forces, right, are the most powerful armed forces in the whole world, right? You guys know that, right? That's why they go and bully all the other little countries, right? No, I'm just kidding, but they do have the greatest armed forces in the world. And let me ask you this question. How many branches are in the United States Armed Forces? Anybody know? I have too much time on my hand, that's why, you know, I went through all these things, right? How many branches do the armed forces have in the U.S.? Brothers, you guys don't know? Huh? Four, five? Five. Five is right, right? What is the first branch, you think? Army, okay. Navy. Air Force. Coast Guard, yep. The Marines, exactly. Wow. Sister, no, that's pretty impressive, right? Yes. There's five, right? There's five. U.S. Army, right? What is the special force in the U.S. Army? Huh? Okay, you have the Rangers, right? The Rangers, right? And then? SEALs, right? The Rangers and SEALs. And those guys, pretty much, when they go to any kind of battle, they're always going to be on the front line, right? You ever meet a SEAL before? Right? They walk different, they talk different, and they're just tough. Right? They're really tough. Because my wife, we have an uncle, he's like 5'2". But boy, he was in the SEAL before, right? When I talked to him, he's just like, you're scared, you know? Because the way he just carry himself, you know that he knows what he's doing. He can just snap your neck and just in 1 second, right? Because they were trained, right? They were trained to do such things, right? Of course, only in a battle, right? Only in a battle. What about the Marine Corps, right? What special course? A special force? Huh? They are the special force. The Marine Corps, they are the special force. But what are some of the nicknames they gave them? You guys know their nickname, right? By looking at their nicknames, then you realize that how tough they are, right? The first one is what? Jarhead. Jarhead, right? And Leatherneck, right? You guys see the Marine, their neck is like this. Actually, they have no head, right? Because they all just neck, right? Why? Because they train, right? And the last one is what? You know, you ever see a Marine? They have tattoos, right? Of what? Anybody know that they always have tattoos in Marine, right? You see submarine? Oh, submariner. You ever see the Marine Corps? They have a devil dog on their tattoo, right? These dogs like shoot flame and stuff, right? Actually, that's what they're known for, devil dogs, right? Because they are so fierce, right? They're so fierce, right? So when you talk about these kind of things, we get very excited. Wow, that's why so many people, right? Be all you can be, right? A few good men, right? You get so excited, right? But come to enlist in the army of Christ. This is much more exciting, I'll tell you. We'll talk later about that, right? U.S. Navy, right? U.S. Navy. So what are some special U.S. Navy? What special forces? Huh? Actually, there are there's so many, right? But the Air Force, right? The last one, what? U.S. Coast Guard. So out of all these five branches, which one are reserved? U.S. Coast Guard, right? But now they still in reserve? No. Why? Because the war is already homeland, right? Homeland. So why do I bring this up to you? Because quite often we as a soldier of Christ, even though in the United States there's four armed forces that's always active, but we in Christ, most of the time we act just like a Coast Guard, right? We always, you know, pretty much inactive. But we have to realize that the war is already in our homeland. The war is inside your heart. The war is also inside the church. So no longer we can afford to be inactive. So we must have this kind of concept. Right now, the battle of Armageddon is already started. But meanwhile, we just sitting here, have no idea the battle even started. So that's why, praise and thank God, you guys can come here for 2 weeks. We can share with one another, right? How to gird up ourselves to be the soldier of Christ, right? So usually, when they deploy to battle, right, they have special... What does float mean? Anybody know? Float. Because when I look to see what does it mean to be in the front line, we use this title, right? Of course, from the armed forces, right? In the front line. And it was very interesting, right? Float, it means what? Forward line of own troops, right? Forward line own troops. So in other words, when they assign you, deploy you, say you must float, right? This means you must go to the front line of your own troops. It's very interesting, right? What does fleet mean? Okay, if you don't know float, then you don't know fleet, right? You should, a fleet of battleship, right? You ever heard of fleet of battleship, right? And you go, when you deploy, right? You must fleet. What's that mean? Forward line of enemy troops, right? Forward lines of enemy troops. Maybe you guys are thinking, what does this mean, right? What does this mean? It's very interesting, right? And there's next one, FIBA. FIBA. You guys ever heard this word before? Right? FIBA, right? Forward edge of battle area. So when you talk about armed forces, of course, they have the acronym, right, of saying certain things. So if you look at these three things, float, fleet, and FIBA, can you see anything, something interesting? The definition, right? Can you see? Can you see something interesting? And the most amazing thing is, because I've been reading up on, you know, the United States Armed Forces, a lot of their strategy, a lot of their ways, actually they take it from the Bible. It's really interesting. Why? Because God, He's an expert in warfare. And even through the Bible, you can see how God strategized for Joshua, right? For Moses. And how, for David, how they can destroy the enemy. So for us, we are the children of God. We are the soldiers of Christ. For sure, if we want to strategize. If we want to strategize to fight in a good battle, there's no one else we can go except for our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's so wonderful. So we can see this progression, right, of victory in battle. If you are float, this means you are first, you're only in front, right, of your troop. But then, if you continue to fight, fleet, right, thank you. Fleet, this means you're in forward line of enemy troops. This means you already penetrate already, right, the enemy troop already. And the last one, FIBA, this means you're already in the midst of your enemy, right? Because the last one says forward edge of battle area. This means you already have victory over your enemy. So when we think about this, right, we also have to have this kind of progression. Our church been established here in the United States. Where's the first church established in the United States? Anyone know? Anyone know? Where's the first church in the United States? Hawaii, right? Sometimes we think Hawaii is a different country, but it's part of the United States, right? Hawaii, right? From since 1939, I think, right? And since now, the membership of our church almost the same, 2,500. And out of the 2,500, maybe 800 are wounded. But maybe the other 1,700, even though we're not wounded, but we're not enlisted as soldiers. Maybe out of the 1,700, maybe only 100 or so that's really in the front line fighting for our Lord Jesus Christ. What about the rest of us? What are we doing? So that's why we must think. Right? We must think. Let's turn to the book of 2 Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Joseph, Bathsheba, the Tetramonite, chief among the captains. He was called Eno, the Isnite, because he killed 800 men at one time. Can you imagine that, right? Talking about the mighty men of David. Of course, they are the mighty men of God. Can you imagine fighting a battle, killing 800 men at one time? How awesome is this, right? Can you imagine one of the brothers, right? You guys going out to battle. 800 men, come on, right? It's fighting, right? For us, it's impossible. We think about this. How can it be? But I know there's another man who killed more than this guy. With one stroke of his sword, right, he killed 3,000 people. Right, who is that? Who is that? Huh? Who is that? Huh? You don't know who killed 3,000 people with one stroke of his sword? Is it the Bible? Yes. Someone is right. Peter, right? Actually, to be able to resurrect people from the dead, is much more powerful than kill them physically. Really? So that's why when Peter, right, and the 11 apostles stood up after he preached a sermon, he cut their heart, right? Then he'd be able to kill the old self and resurrect their new self. That is in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why for you and I, how many people have you killed? Maybe not too many. Right? Not too many. But when we think about this, right, at one sitting, 800 men, verse 9. And after him was Eliezer, the son of, I don't know, I cannot say Dudu, right? It's Dodo. Son of Dodo, right? The Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defended the Philistine, who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. Can you imagine during this time, right? So all the Israelites, right, they have retreated, why, from this battle. But look at this, Eliezer, verse 10. He arose and attacked the Philistine until his hand was weary, and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. How wonderful this is, right? Can you just picture him right now, right? Maybe there's 80 of us here, right? And all of a sudden, our enemy is chasing after us, right? We're all running, but there's one brother, right? Andrew, right? With his sword in the front line, right? Not even saying anything, just fighting against, right, the enemy. And all of a sudden, we all went back to say, hey, let's take all the stuff, right? This is quite wonderful, right? Look at verse 11. And after him was Shammah. I think if they heard me pronounce the name, they're going to kill me, right? I'm ruining all their names. The son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistine had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentil. So the people fled from the Philistines again, right? It seemed like the army, the Israelite army, they're not so brave, right? They'll always be fleeing, right? And but look at verse 12. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field
defended and killed the Philistine, so the Lord brought about a great victory. How wonderful this is. So when we think about this, we get very excited. When I read the mighty man of David, I get very excited. But don't get too excited. In a sense that we are far from there right now, right? You know, when these guys start to follow David, right? Remember in the beginning, they started to follow David, right? What kind of people they were? What kind of people? Remember? In the beginning, he started to follow David, and King Saul was chasing after him. Remember? You guys don't know. Are you guys just being humble? Remember in the beginning, all the people who followed David, what kind of people are they? They're just like homeless people, right? Like off the street. In the wilderness, they all start following David. But after many years of training, they become this kind of mighty men of David. And these men are so faithful to him. Right? Even later on, right, when David said, oh, how much I want to drink, right? From Bethlehem, right? The time these men just heard it, they went and broke the line, right? Even though there's so many enemies there, they went and got him some drink. This is really amazing. But for us, let's start from the beginning. Let's start from the beginning. Because sooner or later, we will be in the battlefield. Even now, we're already in the battlefield. But foundation is very important. Foundation is very important. For example, one time I was watching how the Navy SEAL, right? How they train to become Navy SEAL. So they can start off maybe about 80 people. And on the end, only 5-6 left. Because they can't handle it. Because sometimes they had to sleep in the mud, right? For like 2 days, right? No food, no water. They sleep in the mud. They are so cold, right? And sometimes they just throw them in the forest and just allow them to find their way back, right? If not, they just die. Of course, they're not going to die physically, but they will give up, right? They cannot do it anymore. So for us, quite often we also will go through this kind of training. To be in the front line, even before we can say we can go to the front line, we must be trained. There's no way we can do without training at all. Look at our full-time ministers, right? I think since the history of our church in the United States, maybe only eight of us, you know, come out to be ministers in the U.S. Right? Why? Why so little? What happened to the rest of brothers and sisters? Right? There's so many land to conquer. There's so many souls to be saved. Why are there so few ministers? And for sure, money is not a problem. Right? Money is not a problem. But it's our heart, right, that we have not been moved by the love of God. If we have not been trained, never mind going to the battle. How can we go to the front line if we're not even listed to go to the battle? The nature of enlistment. So what does this mean, the nature of enlistment? Brother, what does it mean, the nature of enlistment? For example, United States, right? When the last time they have a draft? In the United States. What war? What did you say? Yeah, Vietnam War, right? That was the last time. Why did they need to draft in that time? Why? Why did they need to draft soldiers in that time? Because there were not enough, right, people volunteer to go out and fight. So World War I, World War II, Korean War, I think also Vietnam War, right? I don't know Korean War. I don't know about the Korean War for sure, right? Vietnam War was for sure. They need to draft people. Why? Because there were not enough. So for us, what is the nature of our enlistment? This means, why do we become soldiers? Or when do we become soldiers? When do we become soldier, brother? What's that? When you believe in Christ. So this means everybody else out there who believe in Jesus Christ also become soldier already, right? Right? What do you think, brother? When you become a soldier of Christ? Yes, when you are baptized. Right?
The day that you are baptized, doesn't matter you are sisters or brother. The day that you are baptized, you are enlisted to be the soldier of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it because by force that our Lord Jesus Christ forced us to enlist? Is it? No. It's through our faith, right? And through His grace. So this means we are voluntarily enlisted to His army. But after a while, we just forget. Right? We forget why we're here. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No one in a warfare engage himself with the fears of this life, that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. Right? So here, in chapter 2, verse 4, right? Some of our translations say it was chosen, right? Chosen to be a soldier. This is very wonderful. You have no idea how precious this status is. When we become the children of God, automatically we enlisted to be His soldier. And He's so precious. Why? Because not too many people in this world can become these great armed forces of our Lord Jesus Christ. But God already chosen us. Of course, the nature of enlistment is not involuntary draft, but rather, we are enlisted. Right? We ourselves are enlisted. The day that we are baptized, the day that we confess, that we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are willing to do anything for Him. You know, for me, right, earlier when Pastor Ye shared, you know, because God called him three times, right, to come on the front line. Then God called Brother Samuel two times to come on the front line. For me, it's not a clear thing that God called me. Right? But one thing for sure, even before I got baptized, I say to myself, the day that I get baptized is the day I will serve God forever. That was my thought. For some reason, that was always on my mind. Right? Even the first year that I came to know Jesus Christ, I want to serve Him the rest of my life. The second year, I want to serve Him the rest of my life. Even until now, my feelings never change. I will fight for our Lord Jesus Christ until I die. Spiritually or physically, doesn't matter. But for us, of course, not every one of us need to be full-time ministers. But remember, the battle, right? It's not only in the battlefield. Just like the United States, even though they go to Iraq to fight, that's not only where the battle is. The battle is also here in the U.S. Just like for us, battle is always around us. Right? So we were chosen, right, as we respond in faith to the call of the gospel. This is why. So let's think back, right? Because I know that many of you got baptized when you were born, right? When you're an infant. But nevertheless, you must remember, when is the first time that you really experience God? When is the first time you realize that God is your God, not your parents' God? When you realize this, then you realize how important it is for us to engage in this battle. How important it is for us to be one of those people, to be in the front line, to fight for our Lord Jesus Christ. But before that, we really need to understand. Right? Let's turn to song. Let's turn to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 3.
verse 7 and 8. Song of Solomon chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Behold, it is Solomon's couch with 60 villain men around it of the villain of Israel, verse 8. They all hold sword, being expert in war. Every man has sword on his thigh because the fear of the night. No, during that time, I'm sure there's over 2 million Israelites. But out of those 2 million, Solomon chose only 60 of them. Only chose 60 of them to guard his carriage. So what does this mean? This means these 60, why they were chosen? First, they are expert in war. Right? They're expert in war. Second, they all hold sword. And third, this sword is right beside them on their thigh. This means they're ready to use it any time. And the fourth is interesting, because the fear of the night. How can these villain men, they are so villain, at the same time they say they are fear of the night? Because when they are fear of the night, they're always very watchful. The same thing for us. When we think we are so strong in our faith, that's a time where Satan will knock us out. For real. So that's why quite often after seminar, right, when we go back home, we just feel, I'm so strong. I can do things, right, and without being tempted, right, or fall into temptation. But this is the wrong attitude. Why? Because when we are strong like this, right, after these 2 weeks in white days, when we go home, we should live even a more careful life. Why? Because Satan wants to bring you down right away. So that's why for ministers, you know, seminars, after seminars we go. But sometimes when we go home for that 1 week, sometimes we get so tired, and then we let our guard down. And sometimes that's when Satan comes to bother us the most, trying to destroy us. So that's why do our prayer only last 2 hours in YTS and not at home? Because we always let our guard down. When we talk about let our guard, this means mentally, right? Everything that is not pure, everything that is not holy, we must cast it out. This is very important. Because this is Satan's weapon to defile our minds, right? To put thoughts in our head that we don't want to think about. So that's why we must cast it out. It's so important. Just like this villain man, there's only 60 of them. But yes, they all hold sword. They all be an expert in war. And all of them, the swords on their thigh. But they also fear of the night. In other words, when they are fearful, this means they are humble. They know what they can handle. And they know what they can do. So out of all these millions of people, 60 of them. So how about us? I'm sure there's many youth in the United States, right? So 80 of us, God allows us to be here, right? To train to fight in a battle. And even to train to go on the front line. For me, even though I'm 40 years old, but I'm sure that I won't be the last one, right? To kill this faith. You guys will. I'm only, you know, a bridge that connecting the two generations. This is how I feel. Right? You guys are still young. I'm old, even though I'm a little bit young, but I'm a little bit older than you. But even though I'm old, but not older than Pastor Yang, right? So I'm just in between, right? I'm just in between. But for you guys, for sure, you guys, the end days warriors. If that is the case, you really must train up yourself. Because on the end days, all the battlefields can be so fierce. You're going to live or you're going to die. There's no other way. So why not live? And the only way to do that is to prepare ourselves. Right? To prepare ourselves. Continue the nature of our service. Right? It's an active service. This means, when we go home, we're at work, we're at church, we always have to be on duty, right? If a For example, you're an FBI agent, right? They have a gun, right? And no matter where they go, they need to carry the gun with them. Right? This means they're always 24/7, they're FBI agents. It doesn't matter where they are. Right? If they're having lunch on the street and someone robbed a bank, as an FBI agent, you must go after them. That's your duty. So for us as Christian soldiers, every day is an active day for us to fight against Satan. It doesn't matter where we go. But think about this. For me, as I talk to many of you, the greatest battlefield is in your room. Many of us die in our own room. It's sad. Because in olden days, Satan cannot come to fight us in our own room, right? But nowadays, Satan is very clever. You know why United States, they are the greatest armed force in the world? Because they have the greatest weapon in the world. You know they have this smart missile, right? You guys heard about smart missile? The smart missile, they're all computerized, right? For example, if they want to kill me right now, right? Not you guys, just me, right? They can see from the satellite and send this missile, right? If they come to the front door is closed, they were sent to the side door, it's open right now, right? And they come, they put the bomb, the missile right on my lap right now and kill me, right? That's how powerful they are, right? So don't think like you guys walking around, they don't know who you are, stuff like, they know everything, right? We already know everything, right? That's why they are so advanced. So before they went to Iraq and fight, right, the war, you guys heard, right, before even they send a troop there, actually they send special force already there. And destroy most of the enemies already. And then they send the forces there. But of course, we don't hear such things because that is their strategy, right? So before the troop went in, they already went in, right, to kill all the leaders and stuff already. So this, when you go there and fight, just take over, just like that. So that's why a lot of you, some of you are very gifted, right? Some of you are very zealous. But why every time during NYTS, think about it, it's 4 years from now, where are you guys going to be? 3 years from now, where are you guys going to be? Why? Because those of you who are gifted, those of you who are zealous, Satan wants to destroy you every single day. Because when he destroys you, then it's easy for Satan to bring his troop and kill the rest of us. It's very true, right? So that's why when you know that you have the heart to serve God and God gives you such a gift to serve Him, you must pray more and read more. That's the only way to keep yourself alive. There's no other way. So we're talking about an active service. It doesn't matter where we go. Always carry your weapon. Always carry your weapon. Especially when there's a battle in your heart. Especially when there's a battle inside your room. Make sure your sword is drawn and ready to fight. Very important, right? An active service is a full duty, right? Like those in active military service. Right now, anyone who's enlisted in armed forces in the United States, they're in danger of going overseas to fight. Right? Because right now, the war is active. In early years, when there's no war, actually many people would love to enlist right into the armed forces. Why? Because they go there for 2-3 years, they get free money for college, this and that. But now it's not the same. Because now they know that if they enlisted, they can be sent. They can be sent to fight in battles. Why? Because they're on active duty. Right? So therefore, one is not to be entangled in the fears of everyday life. These are only the basic things you must know as soldiers of Christ. So in other words, think about this. If you know you enlisted the day that you are baptized, then why we entangle with our lives in the things of this world? So we're not saying that you cannot go to colleges, right? You have to work hard and go to the best colleges you can. And when you get out of college, make the most money you can. And meanwhile, we have our goal. The reason we go to the best college we can, so we can be prepared, right, and have a tool so we can preach the gospel.
The reason we can go out and get a job to make the most money as we can, so we can donate, right, the money to the church for the service, right, that church provides, that's hiring ministers, right, and doing things for the church. These are focus. But the minute, the reason we want to go to the best school to make our life better, then we lost our focus. This means we have no idea that we are soldiers. Just think about this. So talk about in the front line. We can't even talk about in the front line unless we understand why we enlisted in the first place. So the reason United States Armed Forces now want to do the draft, why? Because if you draft people who do not want to fight, when they go out to the battlefield, they have no strength to fight, no motivation to fight. Why? Because they don't want to be out there. But if people just enlist themselves voluntarily, this means they know they have to fight. For me, I was really impressed with one of the, I forgot his name, he was a football player in the Bay Area, right? From San Jose, actually. And he makes like $2 million a year. But during this last war, he wanted to be enlisted. Actually, no one, he wasn't drafted, no one chosen him to go. But he wanted to fight for his country. And too bad, right? He died, right? And the way he died is also very sad, I think, because of friendly fire, right? This means his own people, right, by accident, own allies, end up being dead. But think about this man, right? His life is so good already. Playing professional football and making like $2 million a year. And he just started. And he want to go out and fight for his country. And end up losing his life for it. So for us, we must have this kind of mentality. We are enlisted in the army of God. Just think how awesome this is. For me, every time I come to church, I always really amazed. Why? Because I'm serving God. Until now, when I talk to my wife, I always think, wow, I can't believe I'm serving God, right? Because for me, I even think that even to just to stay in church is already great enough. But to be able to be the servant of God, how can this be? He is so wonderful, right? So wonderful. So for us, we must have this kind of heart, right, from the beginning. The nature of our service. Right? And one must be willing to endure hardship. And this one thing's for sure, right, as a soldier of God. Any soldiers, when they go, they must endure hardship. There's no doubt about that. First, you cannot entangle your life with the, you know, with the things of this world. It doesn't mean that, you know, when you become a minister, all you do is read and pray, right? Sometimes we feel like, you know, when we become ministers, that's all we do. We just home, read and pray, right? It's not like that. You also can enjoy yourself too. But our focus is different. Our focus is different. Even you guys are not ministers. You still can serve God in many different ways, right? The things of this world is only temporary. The things in this world only entangle us not to be the great soldier that Christ wants us to be. If you are wealthy, God bless you a lot of money, sure, buy a BMW, right? Buy a big house. Enjoy yourself. But serve God. That is the first priority. Right? And we must be willing to endure hardship. For sure, being ministers is not an easy thing when it comes to, you know, hardship, right? Physically it's hard, emotionally it's hard, spiritually it's hard. But nevertheless, right, through Christ who strengthened us, we can do all things. So think about this. So we want to be in the front line. But before we can even be in the front line, we must know who we are. That God has chosen us to fight in this great battle, the battle Armageddon. But are we prepared to fight? Or we just want to sit down and eat nachos? Right? But rather, let's prepare ourselves. you and I, we fight together until the end. Because the army of our Lord Jesus Christ is an awesome army. And I'm sure that every one of you want to be part of it. And you are part of it already, believe it or not. But you must realize it. Let's bow our heads and pray in silence.